Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. My name is Andy Warren, and I am sitting in the presenter's chair for the first time in the bunker, which is very exciting. And for the next hour and a bit, I'm going to be looking intensely into the eyes of my good friend and your good doctor, Stuart Watson. Stuart, how are you?
Still doing that, are we?
I'm all right. Do the intro properly, though.
What do you want from me?
Hello, friends.
Where's Mark's intro? We've all different styles, different approaches.
Fair point.
Can't mimic the man. He's not here. Mm. I don't know what he's doing. He isn't here. I am here, and this is the way I do it.
You do you.
Well, yeah, exactly. Be yourself. Have confidence to be yourself. Don't try and imitate others.
Yeah.
Mark's greatness is not my greatness. We've got different greatness. You've got your greatness as well.
Mm. Have I?
In a way. Greatest producer on planet Earth, Ross Halls, how are you?
I'm good, but you're not actually sitting in the presenter's chair.
Again, that's Mark's chair.
Yeah.
I'm
going to need to move this mic so I can see you properly. There you go. See your beautiful face. There you go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bit late today as well, Ross?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
The buses were run late today.
So. Even greatness of producing can be slowed up by the bus service.
Yes.
Greatness can be lateness.
Yeah.
Is that an expression?
Yeah.
Something of a life motto for our boy Ross.
Yeah.
How are you though, mate? All right?
I'm good. Yeah, very well.
Have you recovered from your Saturday? We're going to talk about Doncaster in a minute, but I believe you have conducted what is perhaps the longest interview in the history of the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Star. Is that correct?
It was so a former Town player, Dean MacDonald, who played for us in 2005-2006 season under Joe Royal. And yeah, it went on for longer than expected, over 2 hours, so...
Is that more minutes than he had on the pitch for Ipswich?
Possibly. No, he did start and play a full 90 minutes, so... No. But yeah, it was a good conversation, but we sort of looked at time, because of course he was going to the Doncaster game, and we looked at time, oh my god, it's 2:30, or 2:15, and we're like, we need to go to the game to, of course, we need to sign in for the press pass and stuff, and he had to get his ticket, so... But yeah, really nice bloke.
Did you know that any Ipswich Town player that's ever played for Ipswich Town can ring up and basically just get a free ticket to the game?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
the one player, like, just make one appearance, him.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's all you... you could just ring up and get free tickets. All you have to do is get onto the pitch once.
Even Ballant Byner?
Yeah. If Byner wanted a party at Portman Road, he could ring up and they would supply him with a couple of free tickets. I learnt that at the weekend. All you need to do is ring up, say who you are.
We've played on the pitch, so does that count for us?
Did we make an appearance for Ipswich Town?
No, true.
Your squad number's still vacant. like there's a deal out there for you. The number 6 shirt.
Mm. Who got 2 in the end?
I wore 12.
Of course,
And that is the backup goalkeeper, Will Norris.
Okay.
So, no, that is taken. Recording today on what is the 1 year... anniversary of the sad passing of an Ipswich Town legend, Mr. Kevin Beattie, who was remembered at the Doncaster game. At the weekend, with a wonderful sign, "The Beat Goes On," which is the slogan for the statue campaign, which is great news. That work is underway on that, but we all miss the Beat, don't we? He was a larger-than-life presence, loved at Portman Road, but so good that he'll be remembered forever, cast in bronze outside the ground.
Yeah, I know this splits opinion in terms of where do you draw the line, and... You know, Mick Mills and George Burley and Terry Butcher and the list goes on. But by general consensus, Kevin Beattie was the greatest player to play for Ipswich Town. Someone, had it not been for injuries, would have played 100-odd games for England, probably. We're not old enough to have witnessed him. But everyone tells you he was faster, he was stronger, he was, you know... had the hardest shot in the game. He was everything. So we knew him in his sort of post-playing career, didn't we? And he was always great to, you know, spent a lot of time at his house doing pieces on his various landmark birthdays and milestone moments, and just a top man and greatly missed.
Yeah, I think I'm really pleased that this statue is kind of an iconic image of him sort of powerfully winning a ball in the air, because that was him, wasn't it, from everything that I've heard about everyone. Pure power, pure ability. And it's great that he's been remembered as that, and I'm not sure when that statue's going to be up, but when it is, it'll be a great addition to a little triangle of statues of three great, great men. Mm. I've spent all weekend in a hot tub in Norwich, aside from a few hours on Saturday, where I came back from my mother-in-law's 60th birthday celebration weekend to watch a 0-0 draw between Ipswich and Doncaster. 0-0 draws are not sexy. 0-0 draws are not exciting. But what did we make of this one?
It didn't do a great deal for our web hits either, I have to be honest. That's a hard sale. Come and read a little bit more about that 0-0 draw. There are 0-0s and there are 0-0s. And that wasn't a completely turgid, instantly forgettable 0-0 war of attrition, was it? You know, Doncaster are a decent team, actually. We thought they'd be good. They were better than I think we all anticipated, actually. Darren Moore's got them, considering he's built that team, virtually rebuilt a team from scratch this summer. They had very comfortable football players in all areas of the pitch, you know, from back to front. And first half, they dominated it. They outplayed Ipswich. They kept the ball. And Ipswich improved after the break. And I think probably, on the whole, a draw was about right. Ipswich could have snatched it at the end. Had a couple of Norwood chances. Obviously, Holy's made a couple of good saves in the first half. Overall, I think Lambert's assessment was right. Pretty pleased. Not overly pleased, but we'll take it. Clean sheet, point. Unbeaten still, on to the next one.
There's only six teams in the country left unbeaten now, and Ipswich being one of them, and you'd have taken that however that would have come. Mm. You'd have taken that, wouldn't you, at the start of the season, to be unbeaten in the middle of September. Absolutely. I think only Leeds in the Championship have conceded less than the four goals that Ipswich have conceded as well. That's a pretty good formula when you probably haven't clicked in terms of an attacking force either.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of said that to Lambert afterwards in the post-match press conference. On the days where you're not bang at it, and it's not really happening for you in an offensive sense, how important is it to keep a clean sheet? And he said, yeah, you're spot on. He knows that they weren't anywhere near it on Saturday. It was frustrating. They toiled in an attacking sense. Norwood was losing his battles a little bit up there. Jackson was probably the quietest we've seen so far this season. And when the two wide players aren't providing that level of creativity, and we'll come on to Alan Judge in a minute, Edwards wasn't really at it either. You know, they ran out of ideas in an attacking sense, really. Mm. So to get the clean sheet was a big plus.
It's quite nice when a manager says you're spot on in a press conference when you ask a question, isn't it? Doesn't happen very often.
No.
It's quite a nice little feeling, like, oh, yeah, I am spot on. I'm spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on, Stu.
On this occasion, it's, normally you get the looks and you get the little put downs and things. So yeah, I'll take that one.
We're not spot on when we talk about formations and systems, are we? That's
no.
Spot off.
Well,
we'll get onto this.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get onto this in a minute. But Paul last week literally laughed at a question when I went to see him at Britannia School, which doubled up. You know, they were relaunching the community trust, but that also doubled up as our sort of pre-match press conference. So I asked him about the wing-backs, and they've obviously played wing-backs in the Tottenham under-21 EFL Trophy game. They then played it again in the under-23s, which is not the formation that they normally play. And we were looking at the personnel as players are coming back and thinking this might actually sort of enable him to get his better players into the team. With Nsiala back, you can get a third centre-back in. With Hughes and Nolan coming back and Bishop further down the line, you can get three central midfielders in, or move Judge inside if you want. And you get to keep two up top. So I sort of just said to him, is wing-back something you're thinking about? And he literally scoffed. He scoffed.
But a few days later, you were spot on, my friend, so don't you worry about that.
So he says it's players, not systems, that win games, but I would argue that on Saturday, you could have a little look at the tactical side of things and say that perhaps for the first time we saw the frailties of 4-4-2.
Should we take that point? We've got that down on our little run sheet for a bit later in the podcast. Should we take that now?
Yeah,
should
go
we
on.
Discuss that now? Because in the mailbag questions, so much of the questioning related to systems, to whether 4-4-2 is the way forward, whether we've seen enough of that, whether it should be wingbacks, whether it should be 4-2-3-1/4-3-3, which are kind of the same. I think we've known that 4-4-2 isn't isn't the blueprint. It's not the grand plan. It's not let's go win this league in a 4-4-2. And like you say, I think we have probably now, for an extended game, for an entire game, probably seen the limitations of it. We've seen it in patches, the limitations there. But we saw it for 90 minutes probably in this one.
I think an average 4-4-2 beats an average, let's call it 4-3-3, or whatever variation you want to put on that. I think if you've got better players, that will overcome that system. But if you're below par 4-4-2, comes up against a well-drilled 4-3-3/4-2-3-1, etc., then you can come undone. And I think that's kind of what we saw for the first time on Saturday. They come up against a decent Doncaster team and they got overpowered in the centre of the park. They made that extra man count, Doncaster. Sheaf and Whiteman were both very handy on the ball, Coppinger as well. And Downs and Skews were kind of getting played around and chasing shadows a little bit. They did get to grips with it a little bit better in the second half. Maybe that was just Doncaster legs going a little, I don't know. But it's always the balancing act between does the benefits and the positives of having two up top outweigh the negatives of having one less in midfield? And that certainly wasn't the case on Saturday.
So I ask you, Stuart Watson, what do you think Ipswich Town shape should be? Not that it matters, because it's the players that win the game, but what do you think?
I'm comfortable with 4-4-2 at the moment because they're unbeaten still and they've been scoring goals and they're not conceding too many, so it seems churlish and silly to be sort of talking about ditching that. But as you pointed out just now, I don't think it is the grand plan, I don't think it is the blueprint. And we've been saying for quite a long time that I don't think that is the formation that they'll end up playing for the majority of this season. When they decide to change that, I don't know. I think at the minute they'll probably stick with what they're doing, but when the likes of Hughes and Nolan are up to speed, then I'd be probably looking to go. I honestly think wing-backs, the more I think about it, and it hadn't really dawned on me before, but it gets Garbutt in the team. I think Garbutt and Vincent Young would be perfectly suited to wing-back roles. You could move Judge inside, and I think we're going to talk about that in a bit more depth now, but he can't keep playing left wing.
No. For me, I'd go away from the wing-backs. I like a well-executed 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, but the key's the well-executed bit, and that's not what Ipswich have done in that system, especially not last season when they were relegated. Leaving the striker isolated ruins it. But if you can get a central striker supported by two high wide men, intense high wide men, whether he's got them or not is up for debate, and then a number 10 beneath that's a front four that should be supporting each other and creating a unit, and then you've got the wing backs in place. I wouldn't mind seeing Luke Garbutt as a traditional left back. I know we have bad reviews from Oxford on that. I wouldn't mind seeing it for myself though. With Vincent Young, and then you've got two central midfielders there that can offer support to the central defensive back too, while those wing backs get forward as well, and you can have some real intensity down the flank, supporting the striker, putting balls into the box, putting balls into the edge of the area for the number 10 to work. I like that formation. There's a reason some of the best club sides in the world use it. Ipswich are not one of the best club sides in the world, despite being unbeaten in the third tier. But that's what I would like to see. I'd like them to execute it well, and that's how I'd like to see Ipswich play. But 4-4-2 is a little bit of a halfway house because, as you say, it is silly to be sitting here debating this when Ipswich are one of six unbeaten teams. They're not conceding goals, and aside from the weekend, they're scoring goals as well, so it does seem very silly to be talking about it.
I don't think they've got the wingers for that at the moment. I agree with you, I like that formation in general, but I don't think they've got those high intense wingers at the moment. I think when Freddie Sears is back, he'll play the wide left of those strikers role, but he is then, there's a difference between playing as a winger or a wide forward, and in a 4-2-3-1 you need to be a wide forward, and Freddie could be that. I think Jack Lancaster could be that on the right hand side. I think Gwion Edwards is more of a wide midfielder. You know, he protects the fullback, he gets up and down, but I don't know if he's a 4-2-3-1 winger. So for the time being, you know, the three centre backs gives Luke Wolfenden some freedom to break out of defence and play that risky football. You know, a couple of times on, I thought he had an excellent game. I made him my man of the match just out of a decent back five performance. Kenlock, shaky moments, but just about atoned for it in the second half. But anyway, I digress. Wolfenden, in a back three, enables him to bring the ball out and make some mistakes and know that you've got a bit of cover behind you. And you can stay with two up top. So we'll see. We'll see which way they go with it. But Judge can't keep playing on the left.
No. We're going to have a big discussion about Alan Judge. But before we get there, Ross, can you hit a jingle, please? Can you hit the Mark's big question jingle?
Of course.
We're going to go early.
Okay.
Also, I think we should play, I know we don't like it, but the Archant jingle, just to get out of the way as well.
Don't you worry, mate. That is down here.
Okay.
We are going to do that midway through the podcast.
Which is
I've listened to a little bit of the Folklore podcast this morning. I've got something to report back on it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll play that in a little bit. Okay. Let's go Mark's big question.
Mark's big question.
He's not here, but he has sent in a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Just to tick the boxes, it was number 23. If you're happy with that, I selected that number. Is that okay?
Okay. Was that?
I'm 23 years old.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's why I did that in tribute to you.
Has that been verified, like the lottery? Was that sort of?
It was set of balls number one, and we used Guinevere.
It's always Guinevere.
What were the other ones?
I don't know.
Guinevere and set of balls number three. Do you reckon they really had different sets of balls?
Yes, I think it's all very much above board.
Is it
and
still
I
a
won't
thing?
Have you questioning it? The lottery,
yeah, like,
is the lottery still a thing?
Didn't it used to be like the centerpiece of Saturday night TV? Like
yeah.
They built quiz shows around this. Dale Winton extended his career by perhaps a decade thanks to the National Lottery.
It's now several things, isn't it? I lose track. There's like Euro Lottery and...
Are we still eligible for the Euro Millions?
Good question. No one's discussed that
exactly,
on the Brexit debate.
Exactly. That's a new angle to the never-ending debate. Anyway, enough lottery chat. Question number 23 on Mark's big question list, which is now 42 questions long, is if you were not in your current jobs, Stuart Watson, chief football writer, Ross Halls, video extraordinaire, best producer on planet Earth.
List goes on. Yeah.
Does it?
I'm not ready.
What would you be?
Oh.
In Young Offenders?
If I didn't get my life in check. Stripper. Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Okay. No, that's fine. I'll accept that answer. What kind of routines are you...
You know, Magic Mike and all that, you know.
You're a very hairy man.
Hairy man, so I think...
That's an attribute that you don't often see in...
Oh,
I'm
you know,
told.
Change the game a little bit. Yeah.
Don't hate the game, change
yeah,
it.
Basically.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Ross Halls would be changing the stripper game.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That wasn't what I was expecting at all.
Do you want a serious answer? Do you want a more serious answer?
If you've got one.
I'm quite happy with the stripper one, but if you...
Oh. A vet.
A vet, okay.
Yeah, working animals. I like animals. So.
You can be the sexy vet. Just do combine the two. Okay.
Yeah. Just like animals. So
looking after the old animals.
Yeah.
Good. I can see you as a vet.
Yeah. You. Kind, caring.
Stuart Watson.
What would I be?
That was a question. I feel obliged to point that out.
Can't make a jingle for that.
I was quite a showy child. You wouldn't believe
it.
No, now.
I would not. Okay. What, jazz hands and stuff.
No, not quite to that degree, but I did do the odd school play and things and for a time in my childhood I was convinced I was going to be a Blue Peter presenter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it about that putting the tortoise to bed? Paper mache?
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's the thing that they did on Blue Peter. What are you on about?
You have to
put a tortoise into hibernation.
I either wanted to be a Blue Peter presenter or I wanted to work at Legoland in Denmark. This was before Legoland existed on these shores.
Have you been to Legoland in Denmark?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No.
No. It was this exotic, faraway place filled with Lego.
Okay.
And I loved Lego. Who doesn't?
No, that's very fair. Can we explore Blue Peter a little bit more?
If you like, yeah.
Please? What was it? What did you? What would you have brought to the Blue Peter?
It was probably around the time of making Tracy Island as well. That was a big thing out of paper mache. Loved that. So I'd be bringing some arts and crafts techniques to the table. Yeah. Probably some sort of Mark Heath style showmanship in terms of my presenting. That's at that time. Obviously, that has greatly faded over time.
I think the only thing stopping you now is that Blue Peter has been axed. I think that's the only...
Is it?
I think it's been ditched, hasn't it?
I think so, maybe.
I think it was done. Who was your Blue Peter presenting idol? Who made you want to...
I don't know. I wouldn't know if I had an idol. Who was doing it around that time?
Richard Bacon was doing it until there was an incident.
Yeah, and then he did loads of cocaine. Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That will not get you on the Blue Peter.
No.
Anthea Turner, did she do it?
That's a bit too old for me.
Peter Purvis.
Yeah, you're going back a bit too far. It was probably around...
Your Blue Peter.
That's more Alan Partridge.
Katie Hill and...
Yeah, Connie Huck.
Yeah, the Geordie guy that now does the One Show.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, he was doing that for a little while.
Athletics Country File, Matt.
Simon Thomas, yeah.
Stuart Watson.
Yeah, that could have been me.
It could have been
you. I would have done that, and then I would have used it in the way that many people have to then make the sort of sideways step into sports journalism.
Did Jake Humphrey do Blue? He was just kids' TV in general, wasn't he?
He might have done.
Yeah. I wish you'd done it. We probably wouldn't be sitting here now if you had. You'd be downtrodden and... down on your luck, former TV presenter Stuart Watson, who's presenting a podcast on Norwich Road. But I think you'd have been
bouncing
fantastic.
Back.
I am bouncing back, but you would be wearing your gold Blue Peter badge all the way along.
What were you going to do?
The only other thing, I've wanted to do this since I was about 13. Not this exactly. I never envisaged sitting here with you fine gents. But the only other thing that I genuinely thought I might like to do is be a policeman.
Okay.
But I think I'm too small. I think you actually do have to be 5'7" to be a male policeman.
What?
I think there's a height test.
No,
surely not. I think there might be. I don't know. You have to... Let me just...
There must be some sort of desk job that you can do.
Well, that's not what I wanted to do, though.
You wanted to be a Bobby on the beat?
Yeah. I am... considered a couple of summers ago when I was considering an exit strategy from this industry, there was a scheme that Suffolk Police launched for like civilian detectives. And I sat in an airport in Rome and that actually started writing out an application for that, but never sent it. So it could still happen.
Undercover.
There was once a minimum height requirement for male police officers of 5'8". However, it has been made illegal discriminate against or reject applicants on the basis of their height. And that is exactly how it should be. So the door is ajar for me to become a copper, detective upholding the law. Hutch. I think I'd be quite a good detective. This job kind of has some transferable skills to the detective game.
I think you'd be a very calming presence. You know, you would build a rapport with some of these sort of reprobates that you deal with on a regular basis, and you would calm them.
So is that what a detective wants to be doing?
Oh, detective, yeah. I was just thinking of you sort of just walking the beat in the town centre.
What I don't want to be is one of those town rangers. Have you seen them that walk around Ipswich?
They've got red and black.
Yeah, dressed head to toe in red and baseball cap. I think that's a very American thing. Just kind of, I think they're after litter pickers and graffiti and stuff.
You want to be dealing with hard crime?
Yeah, which probably Ipswich isn't. Isn't the best patch, although it has its moments, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both parks shut down this weekend.
Yeah, what was that about at the end?
I know, but I don't know. It's a bit dark, this podcast.
It's not great stuff. But no. Would you be chain-smoking as a detective?
No. I would probably have to take up drinking, though, wouldn't I? Just be the angry detective who wears his tie kind of really far undone. May as well not be wearing one. But still wears one anyway. Probably woke up in a hedge that morning, but we'll get the case. Okay, so what about Mark? What would he have been?
I don't know. We'll ask him when he's back.
We'll try and remember.
Professional boxer, basically, if he could.
Yeah.
That's still sort of part of his job in a way. He does it, does he? But not. We'll ask him.
I don't think he'd be a very good professional boxer if he started now.
No.
Yeah.
No. Past his prime, but you'd never know if he hadn't taken up this game. Should we talk about Alan Judge before we play the Archant podcast teaser, or do you want to play that now, Ross?
Don't mind.
Play it now.
Play it, okay.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
So the folklore podcast is more for our Norwich-based folk. It's called Weird Norfolk, and it has kind of stories about weird stuff in Norfolk. I started listening to one the other day, which was just called The Caravan, which was about... I didn't really get to the point, to be honest. It was about a seaside caravan that was always a bit weird and came with like curses and stuff.
Okay.
So if that's your vibe, get on it.
If
it's not... Stick with us.
Okay.
I would suggest. Alan Judge. I would say every other question that we had for our mailbag was about Alan Judge and where he should be playing, if he should be playing, and if he deserves a place in the team. We've had an international question about Alan Judge from Jack, who lives in Cairns, Australia. That's another Australian on our checklist. Talking about, he says, Alan Judge, great player undoubtedly. However, with our current 4-4-2 system and how he likes to roam, surely the team has a better balance and solidity without him. Great impact player or playing in a 4-2-3-1, but the player doesn't make a team, and I'm increasingly seeing him playing for himself, which is frustrating. He also thinks Honey Badger is a thing.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Thoughts?
He's not a left midfielder in a 4-4-2, is he?
No.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I think if they're going to carry on with 4-4-2, then at the moment I don't think he justifies that slot in the team, and I'm in no way, shape or form downplaying his ability as a footballer. Look at the pass over the top for the Norwood chance at the end. That was his raking ball over the top that Norwood took beautifully in his stride, and he's capable of moments like that. He's an international footballer, he's someone that was heading to the Premier League before his injury, but he's made no secret of the fact that he basically wanted to leave Brentford because he was fed up of playing on the wing. When I sort of said to him about playing there, there was a bit of a wry smile and, well, I just go wandering anyway. So he's kind of admitted that himself, and that's what he does. He kind of just goes where he wants to go, and it leaves Miles Kenlock exposed. And Miles Kenlock is now coming in for a hefty amount of criticism. But I don't think that helps his game when he's not got that same sort of protection in front of him at times. So it's not working with Alan Judge wide left at the moment. You're losing that organisation and that discipline, and you're now saying, well, hopefully our better players overcome more organised, better drilled sides, and they came up against not only an organised team in Doncaster, but one that had a better level of player. You know, AFC Wimbledon were an organised team, but ultimately Ipswich's personnel overcame that, but they can't be arrogant enough to sort of think that just chucking out their perceived best 11 onto the pitch is always going to win the day when you come up against organised sides.
So this one's on Lambert, really, isn't it? If you put Alan Judge on the left side of a 4-4-2, we know, for a prolonged experiment of seeing it, we know what he's going to get. You can't keep putting him there and expecting a different result, right? That's just what he is there.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about this, Alan Judge being on the left of a 4-4-2 is not far away on the pitch from where he does want to be, like in terms of, oh, he's an attacking player, he should be in the middle as a number 10. But if you put Cole Skews up front, you're not going to expect him to start banging in the goals, are you?
Somebody made that point on Twitter saying, you know, him playing there is akin to asking Cole Skews to play up front. I think that's stretching the analogy a little bit, but like you say,
it's not too far. It's not stretching it that far. It is a different position.
It is a different position, and but good players have got to have the discipline to do the job that's asked of them, and Lambert said that. You play where I tell you to play, and you do the job. And he's not doing that at the moment. So your options are either change the system and put him in the middle, or don't play him at all. That's how I would look at it. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if his set piece game was bang on form, and everything he was doing was of a high quality, you could maybe overlook some of that ill discipline and some of that roaming and things like that. But you've got a double-edged sword here. A, Kenlock is arguably one of the weaker links in the team at the moment. And B, he's not bang at it in terms of his own form either, Judge. You know, his crossing isn't at it at the moment. His set pieces certainly aren't at it at the moment. So
he snatches at chances as well, doesn't he? You can see he's itching to be the player that he know he can be. Like, he's shooting when he shouldn't be shooting, and when he is, he's not catching them.
He's trying too hard. He's overthinking it. And you see that with footballers. And whether he's still trying to sort of having sort of used a bit of adrenaline to get him through that sort of post-injury, you know, a long time out, best part of 2 years. And I think maybe adrenaline got him through quite a lot at the back end of last season, and that busyness about him and getting all over the pitch looked a really good quality at a time where Ipswich were losing games. It was, you know, it was refreshing to see someone that was giving their all for the shirt and could do have a moment of quality, which we hadn't seen a lot of. But at the moment, when we're now talking about trying to find a settled team, it's not really working for him at the moment. So
if we're talking 4-4-2, there's an option, isn't there? There's Anthony Georgiou, who is a left winger. He's left-footed, boots, chalk on your boots kind of winger. If he wants to be, come inside as well. Could we see him at MK tomorrow night? It feels like the time is probably right for him to be making a start. 4 sub appearances, ready to go now, do you think?
Yeah, every chance.
Yeah, I think so. You've got a game for us, haven't you, Mr. Watson?
Me?
Yeah.
Do you what? You just asked me how we're doing for running time. I never press start on the stopwatch, so I can't give you that answer.
Ross, how are we doing for running time?
I think we're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we play a little game, Stu?
Yeah.
What have you got for us?
I don't know if this will work, but it occurred to me yesterday, right? So, tension music.
Has that music gone a bit early?
A little bit.
Oh, Ross has, okay. Boom.
Ross has jumped the gun. Right, so originally this game was going to be called Ipswich Town Say What? Any ideas what this game could be?
No.
Now the new name for the game is Cole Scuse. Welcome to Cole Scuse. Do you want to know more?
Yes, please.
Yes. Right, so when we go to grounds and you hear footballers' names read out over the PA, you get some interesting pronunciations sometimes. And one of which is often Cole Scuse. He develops into our new foreign quarterback at Ipswich Town. It got me thinking about some of the other sort of mispronunciations of Ipswich Town players. We've got, is it Thomas Holly? Is it Knudsen? Is it Knudsen? Is it Bielkowski? Is it Bielkowski? It's Kowski. This game here is, I'm going to give you names.
Oh, no.
I'm going to give you a Christian name of an Ipswich Town player. Now, the aim of the game is to purposely mispronounce their surname. So you've got to say it right. So I'll give you one for starters, right? Ipswich Town captain Luke
Chambers.
You can go with Chambers, and that would be fine. Yeah. But we're going to go fairly quick fire. So you've got to think on your feet here.
Is it how does it work? Kind of.
Do you want to go one each? How do you want to play this? Ross versus Andy. Okay.
And then are you judging at the end who was the best?
Yeah, I want to see
the best.
Like, I've definitely lost then.
I want to see
you pronounce everything wrong.
Exactly.
This is right in your wheelhouse.
For the man that calls him Paul Marnier in print quite a lot.
I wouldn't say like Marnier. My grammar's terrible. But actually, speaking wise, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, that was more of a written thing.
Yeah, but still.
Speaking wise, I'm okay.
Okay. Donation.
Okay. Hit me with the music, Ross. Just to inject a bit of tension into things.
If anyone can tweet in with what film this music's from, yes. I'll give you a point. Don't know what they add up to.
Midfielder with a penchant for headbutting people. Flynn
Downis.
Ross. Ponytailed striker. Will.
Canoe.
I'd have accepted Kiani.
Oh, good shout.
Right back, Janoy.
Donasian.
J. German striker Colin
Quaver.
You can't change the letters in it, Ross. You have to work with the letters that are there.
Oh.
Perennially injured midfielder, formerly of Norwich, Tom
Adeyemi. Accent on the I.
Mauritian midfielder, Kevin
Boo.
I don't know if you could change that one, actually.
Mm.
Son of Jason, Andre
Dozzle.
Yes.
I think I've lost.
He left for Derby, Martin.
Do you know who the player was?
Yeah. No. Waghorn, I don't know. Waghorn.
I'd have accepted Waghorn.
Ah.
Mm.
Simple things.
Midfielder on loan from Leeds, Toumani. He's got syllables to play.
Yeah, there's a lot to play with here. Diego. Diagaguraga. No, I don't. There's too much to work with, mate. Diagaraga.
Works.
Final one for you, Ross.
Oh, God. Bring it up a little bit.
The man that Mick McCarthy simply referred to as the Polish fella. It's Peter.
I don't know. I know Malacek, but I don't know how. I don't know. Have you got an option? Milicic.
Milicic? Probably Suffolk boy.
It's harder than it sounds.
That's Milicic.
Yeah.
It's harder than it sounds.
That is hard.
Right, game. I have no idea whether that game worked or not, but that was Cole Scuse.
I liked it. More Watson games, please.
Andy, I have to make you the winner there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, the best of a bad bunch, I think.
I don't think I got one right.
There are no rights and wrongs.
I know, but in terms of actually trying to, you know, remix their names.
I think it's easier when you see them written down.
Mm.
Probably. I want to come back with a better effort with Diagaraga at some point.
Okay.
What would you have gone for, Diagaraga?
Diag. Uraga.
Great. From one game show to another, hit the button, Ross.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike. Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
thank you very much, thank you. Now, there was someone actually tweeted us about they like the game show, but maybe more you have to write down instead of shouting out, so we're going to do that now.
Exactly. Was that Stu that tweeted in?
No, someone else. I forgot his name, so sorry.
Multiple choice has never been fastest finger first. It's not how it works.
No, not really.
The rage is back.
Yeah.
I can't let this go. It's ridiculous. Let's do it properly this time.
Let it go. Okay. Have you got? Oh, both got pens and you've got some paper there. I should have brought some paper. You got your notepad?
I've got to supply my own stuff, have I?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The budget doesn't, you know.
Okay.
I've spent all the budget on the jingle, so.
I made the jingle.
Thank you. You'll get the expenses form later.
Yep. I'm good.
Okay. Once again, to do who am I? So you got some clues. So let me know if you know the person from the first clue.
So is this buzz? This is buzzing in, yeah?
Yeah, basically, yeah. We'll do multiple choice after. So, clue number one. He had a loan spell during the 2015-16 season, making 10 appearances, scoring 2 goals.
No, carry on.
Okay. As we're playing Gillingham on Saturday, he currently plays for them now.
Gillingham?
What? Not the greatest clue to the world.
No.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Final clue. His last name is a brand of crisp.
Boop. It's Ben Pringle.
Yeah.
Is he at Gillingham now?
Yeah, he's at Gillingham now, yeah.
Okay.
He was quite good, wasn't he?
He was alright, yeah.
When he played, yeah. He was decent.
He was at Tranmere last year, yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was part of the front four that made James Norwood the man that he is today.
Oh, I could have said that maybe as a clue. Or maybe where he came on loan from, maybe I should have had a day in. But
no, that's good.
That's good, mate.
Yeah. So if you got it from the first clue, then well done.
Well done to you.
I remember he scored on his debut, didn't he, at Huddersfield?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
His debut?
Anyway,
he scored at Huddersfield.
It was his contract that was found.
I like that. You dropped that in two episodes later. That rewards loyalty.
I knew, didn't I? No.
Nice.
So as you know, I love my nostalgia. Town flashback.
I love the way that you say nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Yep.
Okay. Town beat. Got now. This is where I've got to try to pronounce something. Aries Selenka. 5-1 in the UEFA Cup. That's probably butchered that. Probably.
Aris Salonika.
Oh.
See, I thought that game would have been right in your wheelhouse before.
It's because I'm
not playing it anymore.
It's because I've got it written down. That's probably why. Maybe I should have seen it written down.
Right, game, I'll just give a list of names to Ross, and he has to read them out.
But that team, we won 5-1 in the UEFA Cup first round, first leg in 1980, with John Walk scoring 4 goals. But what country are they from? Greece, Poland, or Austria?
Can you tell me the name of them again, please?
Hachi?
No, this is your quiz.
Aris Selenka. Selenka?
Let's stay with that.
Okay.
And what are the options, please?
Greece,
yeah.
Poland, or Austria?
Okay.
Cool. We'll go back.
So, do you want to see our worksheets at the end?
Yes.
To mark them?
Yes. Maybe at the end of the show, we can go back. No, we'll do it after.
Are we revealing now?
Should we? Yeah, let's reveal it now.
Okay.
Yeah, and you get a point. So, of course, do it, Watson, currently 1-0 up. Let's see.
I've gone with Greece.
Both correct. So, point each.
Thank you.
2-1 to Watson.
Selenka is in Greece. Salonika.
Ah, it worked. Question number 2. In 1988, Town also won 5-1, but against Shrewsbury Town. Who scored a hat-trick in that game? Simon Milton, David Lowe, or Danny Nackerson?
Which year?
1988.
Is it Milton, Lowe, or...
Ackerson.
Goodness me. Atkinson.
Ackerson. Sorry. Sorry. Need to find some music for this, for the background.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I don't know the answer. Milts didn't do hat tricks, did he?
No, surely not.
Go on.
Really?
David Lowe.
I've got Atkinson.
It's actually Milton. It was actually Simon Milton.
Sorry, Simon.
And finally, on the multiple choice. In 2013, Town faced Yeovil for the first time at Portman Road, with the Blues winning the game 2-1. Who scored Town's winning goal that day? Or that night, actually?
I think I know the answer.
Christoph Berra, Tommy Smith, or Aaron Cresswell? Darren Murphy scored the other goal, if you wanted to know.
Christoph Berra is the answer.
Okay.
Good job, I've got that written down as well. I do not remember that game.
That was actually incorrect. It was Aaron Cresswell. Berra scored in the game against Yeovil.
Oh, that was at their place.
Yeah.
A header.
Were you there?
Oh, I got it wrong.
Were you at this game?
Yeah, I would have been there, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm Crosswell.
Don't think I've seen Ipswich play Yeovil.
Berra scored at their place.
Yeah, their place, yes. So.
Quite like Hewish Park. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Open terrace, lovely.
They're now in the National League, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. But we're down.
Their press room has. The seating in the press room is just an old sofa that one of the long-standing journalists just went, he needed to get rid of it, so he just brought it in. And they have a little old lady who makes, like, basically packed lunches for everyone.
Yeah,
a little tuck shop. It's nice.
Love that. This is last time. So last time we played NK Dons was in 2015. We beat them 1-0. Who scored Town's goal that day? Freddie Sears, Brett Pittman, or Daryl Murphy?
Are you giving us the score?
Yeah, we won 1-0.
1-0?
Yeah.
Against NK Dons.
Ready?
Again, I'd have been there. Don't remember.
Brett Pittman.
I've also got Brett Pittman.
Indeed. That's right.
Complete guess.
I got back from New York at about 7 a.m. that morning. Still did the game, didn't I?
Hero.
Oh.
Exactly. Okay. We don't all wear capes.
And that's it, basically. I did have a last question, but Stu's won, so...
Stu wins 3-2.
Is that
wins
is it like golf? I've just won 2-1, won't bother playing the last...
Can we do the last question just for the
listeners?
Yeah, linking up with Cole Skews in the game. He'll be making his 250th appearance against MK Dons if he plays, of course. He's only scored 2 goals, of course, but against which 2 teams? I won't give you any options, you have to just guess.
I know
for Ipswich.
One of them was Cardiff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was Screamer Hall.
Yeah, I can't remember. Obviously, I knew that one. Cardiff, and there was another one that was like a deflected goal. Mm.
And funny enough, it's actually on this day as well. So it links up with Town Flash, but yeah, it happened this day 2 years ago. Yeah.
I can picture the goal, but I can't remember who it was against.
It's at home.
It was at home, and it took a bit of a nick on the way to
goal. Do you want another clue?
You go on.
They currently play in the same league as us, League One.
Is it Rotherham?
Nope.
Bolton?
Yes.
Ah.
I still lost, though, haven't I? Oh, well. Good quiz, Ross.
Thank you.
Play the jingle.
Of course. That needs some backing music
time. Work in progress.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Strike. Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Ross here. There you go.
Very good.
Very good.
I like it. Just building on it layer by layer each week. We'll have some backing music next week. Yeah. It'll be unstoppable soon.
There you go.
Probably
a special guest in one week as well.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, well, I might do it. Just for that little section.
Do Who Am I and bring them in.
Oh, that's when I do on...
Dean McDonald.
Damn it.
What is it like, Question the Sport, where you're in person, you'll drape like a blanket over them and then just give a little peek of their ear.
A tattoo, maybe.
Yeah.
Am I correct in saying that Dean McDonald brought his shirt with him?
2 shirts,
for your interview.
It's home and away.
In a frame.
In a frame,
so he's taken that down to bring it to Ipswich.
Yeah, yeah.
To show you.
I thought that was... I asked him, and he brought it.
Good lad. Good.
Yeah.
His shirts were always very big for him.
Yes.
He's smaller than me.
Bring back baggy football shirts.
Mm.
Remember when they used to be really baggy?
And when you pulled somebody's shirt, you had a good chance of grabbing it, because it was flowing a good 6 to 8 inches behind them. You could reach out and grab. I love that the music's still playing in the background.
Good. There you go.
Right. Should we hit the mailbag?
Yes.
Who's going to sing it? Cause
as we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, but I haven't made a jingle for it. So I will sing it now, and then we'll get on to the questions.
Go.
Mailbag, mailbag. Presenter Andy and Stu and Ross go dipping in the mailbag.
Ooh.
Lovely. Lots of mailbag questions this week. Lots of them... to do with Alan Judge in a 4-4-2, and to do with formations. So we've covered all that, but thank you all for your questions. It's much, much appreciated. We'll deal with one from an email first, because we do get some email questions. This one's from Kevin Knight, who has a question for the KOA mailbag. He's bringing his son Sam to the live podcast, and it has been vague as to whether there will be a buffet provided. That's the first point.
Okay.
The answer to that question is your ticket does not include food, but there will be some on sale. But we'll put some details more about that to ticket holders closer to the time. But his real question is, regardless of that, what dish would each of the podcasters can... That is crazy loud out there again.
I'm going to tell them to say shut up.
Go on, Ross. Sort them out.
What's the question, Andy?
And that all needed to be on air, didn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll leave that in. Well done, Ross. You've sorted them out. What dish would each of the podders consider their speciality buffet dish to prepare? Please note he has a dairy and yeast intolerance. So in the unlikely event you will be preparing these dishes for me, I would be grateful if you could notify me of the ingredients. So bearing in mind there is a yeast and dairy intolerance, what are you cooking for a buffet?
Meat. Just loads of meat.
Some chicken wings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd probably do some little scotch eggs. Make some scotch eggs. Runny yolk, please.
Dairy intolerance. Is that ticking that box?
I don't... Is that dairy? That's not... It's not egg. From... Is egg dairy? It's from a chicken, not a cow.
I don't know now. I thought that was in the dairy family.
Well, I'm not bothered about the... These are for the people that can eat the egg, so...
You've promised me for a long time that you'll make me one of these.
They're such a faff. Like, I really want to. I love making them, but they make a right old faff, and they take a lot of mess. We're having our kitchen done soon, so maybe that could christen the new kitchen.
Yes, please.
Do some little scotch eggs, partly runny yolk. Do you like a scotch egg, Ross?
Yeah, Sasha made me some nice ones recently. She made up from scratch as well, and she did say it was a very big mess.
It's an awful process, really. Yeah. Let's get to the Twitter questions from our good friend of the show, which I'm not... Are we going to sing these?
No.
Friend of the show, Stefan Vasek, says, "Hi, guys. Could Peterborough be the team to beat this season? They're looking very strong. They beat Rochdale 6-0 at the weekend."
Did they? They won 6-0?
Yeah.
Yes, they'll be up there. Ipswich probably didn't deserve to get that equaliser at their place, and I think they were a team that were still finding their feet at that stage as well. Issa hadn't quite got up to speed at that stage, has he? But that front three of Issa, Tony and Madison, they're going to score goals.
They should be up. Every year they threaten to be up there, don't they? They always have good players. It often takes them a little while to click at the start of the season, but They should really be up there, shouldn't they, you'd think?
Yeah.
I think that the Cowley brothers moving on is a real blow to Lincoln's chances of being up there. I think that may see them drop away from the picture. Jason Miltonou wants to know if he was the only one thinking that Will Keane should have been brought on at half-time to play against their big number four, Tom Anderson.
I think... Understandable. I was surprised that there wasn't changes made at half time, but Will Keane probably wouldn't have been the one that I was looking towards, purely because it's too soon for him and they're right to keep him wrapped up in cotton wool. Will Keane is too good for League One. There's a reason that Ipswich have signed him, and that's because of the injury record. So he is the most talented striker at this football club, no doubt about it, in terms of his all-round ability. Norwood's probably more of a goal scorer. Jackson's got different qualities with his pace and his tenacity, but Will Keane, in terms of being an all-round footballer, is the best they've got as a striker. Yeah. So would I have brought him on to go up against the big striker, the big centre-back? I don't think that's his role. I think Norwood's more of a target man than Keane is. I'd like to see Keane sort of play just off and be the link-up man. He's never been a prolific goal scorer throughout his career. I think he's capable of scoring goals, but I'd have him in a two, but almost dropping just off and being the link-up striker.
His first touch is brilliant, isn't it, Will Keane? He can do so much with that. I think you're probably right. The Pin has a serious question. Doesn't always bring a serious question to the table. Friend of the show, The Pin. He wants... it's not actually that serious, having just... Actually, just now read it. It says, "Thomas Holy is a good goalkeeper. Would he be better if he actually wore a pair of shorts that fitted him correctly? On Saturday, the adjusting of the mouse in the house was ridiculous. I can't say I noticed that from our lofty vantage point."
No, but I will now look out for that.
Yeah, that'll probably make it into Stu Says.
Is that to do with the shorts, or is that the choice of underwear? Join me in the pants side, my friend.
They do all wear keeps everything, pants, don't they?
I think so, yeah. They're like standard issue, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you shouldn't really be having to do any adjusting, regardless of the shorts.
Big George. George Alavoine. What grounds this season are you dreading to go to? We've covered grounds quite a lot, haven't we? Mainly the ones we're looking forward to going to. Not so much the ones maybe dreading.
Just the ones that are a big old trek. Fleetwood.
Yeah.
We've done Bolton. That wasn't even like it was a new ground. At least Fleetwood is kind of a new ground for us. Yeah. Accrington, having done that in the Cup, is going to be like on a Sunday lunchtime as well.
There's rumours that we might have a little night away ahead of that game, potentially.
Which is very rare. We can't do that on the morning of and back. That would be crazy.
That would be crazy. FPL Tractor, in honour of Mark being absent, is this episode going to be like when Mick McCarthy was ill and Terry Connor led us to a 4-0 win? Which, that was Mick McCarthy's record win as an Ipswich manager, wasn't it? Mm. I don't know.
You be the judge of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've scored 4 goals as of yet. Very different vibe. We're missing our presenter greatly. In fact, Grey Blue says, is it even worth doing a pod without Mark Heath? He is the pod. I would argue that his ego doesn't need to be told things like that. But it may or may not be true. George Lee, which non-British player has taught you the most about the culture from which they come from during interviews/press conferences? E.g. Knudsen about Denmark, Bart about Poland, Holland about Czech Republic, etc.
You're probably Knudsen. I did a magazine interview with him and we talked a lot about hygge, the Danish sort of way of life. It's all about sort of being zen and having good feng shui in your house and low-level lighting and candles and chilled music. It's just about vibes. So
it's all about vibes.
Yeah.
A word that means nothing. Mm. It's a concept, isn't it? It's not a word, really. It's a way of being. I don't know if we ever learnt an awful lot about Poland from Bart.
No.
Just that he was proud to play for them.
And he got beat up quite badly after playing in a rivalry game as a young man. And Poland sounds like a harsh place to live.
Grow up quickly in Poland, yeah. I think, by the sounds of things. What other foreign players have Ipswich had that we could have learnt from?
We haven't had loads, have we? It's been very sort of British.
British and Irish.
Bellet Biner, Hungary.
I think he's a worldwide worldwide brand, though, isn't he? Rather than actually being Hungarian.
That's a good point.
He just taught us all how to party.
Mr. Worldwide.
He is Mr. Worldwide at the moment. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing. Do you follow him on Instagram?
Yeah, I do, yeah. He's been in South Africa any recently.
Yeah, Singapore. I don't know if he's playing football.
I don't think so. He's always in like Dortmund training kit, though, so I don't know if he
Dortmund
just wears it just
to go and do his fitness stuff. Yeah. But he's very much on the nightclub scene in South Africa and the Far East at the moment. Yeah. So
good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Maybe he's been sent from Dortmund to sort of go to these places to get more fans of the club there, maybe.
And what a man to send.
He's Dortmund's global ambassador.
Yeah.
Mr. Party ambassador. Barney Booth asks, could we see Garbutt/Georgiou at left back? If so, will that improve that area or are Kenlock's struggles as a result of a lack of cover from the left wing?
The latter point, possibly, although you could say on Saturday it was more on the ball.
Yeah.
Miles was giving the ball away and that's got nothing to do with cover or not in front of you. I quite liked him on the left side of a back three, Miles Kenlock, actually. I just think in terms of his attacking game, he's got that one trick, which is the drop of the shoulder and come inside, which is fairly limited, but his crossing game is hit and miss at times. Do you think we'd see either of those two at left back? Garbutt,
I think.
Yeah, more likely than Georgiou.
I think Georgiou, to me, he has played there, but he looks like a pure winger to me. I think you'd probably have a few of the same issues with as you have him with Kenlock as a left back if you put Georgiou there. He's a winger. But yeah, I think I'd like to see Garbutt as a left back because that's where he was heralded, wasn't it? He's obviously gone a different path slightly, but he very much was a.
I'm not ready to write off Miles just yet. I know he's getting a bit of grief, but Now, that tackle he made at the end on Kiwamia, that was real danger, that counter-attacking, and that, you know, that was a good tackle there, and he made a couple of decent blocks inside the box, and by far the finished article, but I don't think we should be sort of completely, you know, writing him
Chambers
off. Chambers
made a similar really good tackle as well, didn't he? There were a couple of them. It was Kiwamia, the nephew of Chris, who, once he came off the bench, he had a couple of moments where he looked like he could win it. I don't think he quite had his dad's pace, his uncle's pace. If that was Chris, he would have he'd have been well clear of Chambers. Ross Wishart wants to know if we should be concerned about the number of one-on-one chances that Norwood has had and spurned. It's quite a few now. I'd argue that these two at the weekend, they were both on his left foot, which isn't his favoured one, but particularly in the Bolton game, he had one against Sunderland.
He had three at Bolton. Yeah. These ones were hardly gilt-edged, were they? Good saves rather than misses, I would say, on this occasion. But we discussed this after the Bolton game, that we'd heard from Tranmere fans that he is a type of striker that needs two chances to score every one. The worry for me comes as a striker where you start going several games at a time without having a sniff at goal. I think I take the encouragement from Saturday that having had a very frustrating afternoon, he still managed to get in position for two chances, and he's a player that will get chances most games.
Yeah, and that's what he's there for, isn't it? To be on the end of chances. He will miss them, but you'd hope that, and you can tell he's frustrated. He wants to put one of those away at some point. Next one. Who out of the current Town squad do you think you'd get along really well with on a private front? This is from Sindra Eliasson. He wants potential friends from the Town squad and has suggested that Ross and Miles Kenlock could perhaps go out for dinner and settle their differences there. And Mark, obviously Mark and the Honey Badger, his good friend, Honey Badger.
Do you think any of them would be up for forging any kind of...
No.
No?
No. I don't think any of them probably need us in their lives on a personal level.
But if you took all of the work stuff away and you just bumped into someone on a holiday or whatever, who do you think you would have most in common with?
I think, honestly, I think, strip away all the football and all of that, I think Jonas and I would have got on quite well.
You like Scandi things, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Same with Bart as well. I think we could have gone swimming together. There's that video of him swimming. We could have had a little swimming race, and that would have been really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably those two. Obviously, they're not here now, but I don't know, a lot of the current squad are quite young.
Yeah, it would have to be someone of a similar age. I think probably Cole Skews. He just seems just like a solid bloke. He's quite dry.
Yeah.
I think I like to think that he's a fan of The Office and we could just office quote at each other. But yeah, he's got my sense of humour, so I'd say Cole.
What about you, Ross? It's probably, who would you go out for a Nando's with for your three times weekly Nando's?
I had two last week, Monday and Friday. Probably maybe Wolfie, sort of similar age. Well, similar age to most of the squad, really, but I'm sort of laid back as well, so...
You'd be out with all of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, basically. Nando's. I normally bum into them all in Nando's anyway, so... They like the Nando's.
And so do you.
Yes.
And so do you. Dave Gort says, Sunderland at home, Doncaster at home, two teams we assume will be up there at the end of the season. If we want to be classed as genuine title contenders, aren't these the games we need to win? Or am I just being a little negative?
Title contenders, then yeah, I guess you want to be winning the majority of your home games. Are we talking about Ipswich winning the title? I guess that has to be the target, doesn't it? That's what the players are saying. For me, they're nowhere near hitting top speed, Ipswich, still at the moment, and I'm trying to look upon that as a positive. We've talked about not really finding their best system, not quite finding an identity yet. And yet, off the back of last season, we're here, unbeaten, second in the table, looking like we've got players that can score goals, looking like the defence is shored up a little bit. So, a few more gears to go through at the moment. So, it might be different when we start facing some of these other. When the table starts to really take shape, then we'll know when start playing Doncaster a second time and how much progress has been made.
We'll hit up a couple more of these before we move on to MK Dons. Eddie Lanes, who appears to be a Tenpin bowling fan.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I particularly enjoy or good at, but good luck to you, Eddie.
That surprises me. I'd have you down as a Tenpin man.
Just not. It's okay. I'm all right. It's just, it doesn't excite me.
Okay.
It doesn't get me going. I've got a Tenpin bowling pin at home. I don't know where I got that from, but I'll bring it in if you want.
One of my first published pieces of work was in a 10-pin bowling magazine.
Can we go a bit deeper on that, please?
No, that's all I'm giving you.
Okay. Eddie wants to know which three players or staff members from Ipswich Town would you pick to have on your pub quiz team and who would wear the armband? I think we're both going to take Cole Skews.
Yeah, because he does the pub quizzes.
He gives the quizzes.
Yeah, he does the quizzes. 8 legs, 6 legs. He did them in Germany for the rest of the squad. So he'd be taking your skipper's armband. Who else is going to bring the most knowledge to the party?
I think Emir Hughes could maybe come along for the ride. He likes to get involved in things. Didn't he have a nice Twitter discussion about the tax system online at one point before admitting that he
quickly climbed down.
Didn't know what he was on about.
Yeah.
But I'd bring him on. I'd bring him into the side just to. He's got the thirst for knowledge there.
Uh-huh.
He wants to be involved, and I think this would be the perfect environment to get him involved. Mm-hmm. I'll take him.
Yeah. I think Toto knows stuff. I think he's quite worldly wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will Norris, I think, would be a good quiz team member as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's lived. He's lived. He's worked in bars, worked in pubs. He's seen some things. He knows mm-hmm. what's going on. Should we hit up one more
just
go before
on.
before we move on to MK Dons? I'm going to read out a few people that have asked questions but haven't had them answered because they're on a similar theme, because there's an awful lot of them this week. I'm going to read them out very, very quickly. Tony Southgate, George Lee, Dr. Stephen Watson asked a question. But do you want to take the question that your parody account has asked?
Yeah, go on.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the longest in the shower?
I've already replied on Twitter whilst we're doing this podcast.
Ooh. Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, I assume that's you've put yourself forward, have you?
Yeah.
Great. Jack Phillips, Glory Day artwork.
Yeah. Carry on. I was going to start talking about during the game, during the 0-0 on Saturday, we started adapting the lyrics to Toto's song for each other.
Yeah.
But that's not really something that can be shared in this
platform.
Yeah, and
your lyrics didn't suggest that you would be the answer to that question either.
No.
Simon Weiss, Ben Prickett, Sam Rogers, Phil Marshall, Mike King, Super Franz, Blue Soap, Nigel G, Barry ITFC Man, Daniel Rockle, Rory Anderson, Christian Davis, Sam Tampin, Andy Mildwater, Christian Davis, lots of Davis, Jamie Carpenter, Martin Pakefield, Tim Harvey, ITFC follower, Martin Coed, Arthur Pickthorne, Jay Rocket, Kevin Galley, and the Blessed Pot. All ask questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Most of them related to Alan Judge and 442. MK Dons, tomorrow night, we're moving on. I'm not going to lie, it's my favourite stadium in the division. I absolutely love the stadium. Obviously, you think what you want about how it came to exist, but love it there. What are we thinking from this game? A few changes. I'd like to see John Nolan get a start, perhaps, in this one.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few changes.
Where would you play him, though? If say John Nolan did go into the team, what would you be changing the shape to accommodate him, or is he... Where's he going?
I think he's more of a 4-3-3 midfielder, and we're talking about the subtleties of 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3. I think he plays in more of a 3. Him and Hughes are a kind of bit of both. Neither of them are out-and-out number 10s. I think they can kind of do a bit of both of that, so just get him in a midfield 3. And I think, you know, we're talking about the limitations of 4-4-2, as good as Skews and Downs have been. I think there's limits in terms of goals and creativity that come from that, so I think another one in amongst them. I mean, I think this could be the game that Downs and or Skews get a rest. I thought Flynn maybe looks like he, you know, he's played every... Both of them have started every game so far, haven't they, league games?
Yeah.
So, you know, Cole took a hefty knock to the jaw. Flynn looked like he might just be feeling it a little bit in that game, so I could see one of those dropping out for sure.
And potentially a Georgiou figure in on the wing, maybe Judge drops out. He was on international duty last week, play again at Gillingham maybe. But
and Guion Edwards on the right as well. Let's not forget that he's missed most of pre-season as well, so I think he might rotate him from time to time as well. So, yeah, I don't think he'll do too much at the back. I know he's rotating the centre-backs, but...
A pair we'll is starting to emerge a little bit there, isn't it? And I think Toto's playing for the under-23s this afternoon at Burnley, so he certainly won't be involved. Seems silly to say, but you want to see Ipswich get back to winning ways now, don't you? Like, unbeaten's great, and this point may prove to be useful, but I want to see an Ipswich that are kind of taking it to a team and on the front foot in this one a bit more.
Yeah, four points minimum from the next two. That's what I want.
Yeah, and that's hopefully what you shall get, my friend. Let's call things off there. That's a wrap. Thank you for listening. Mark will be back next week, you'll be pleased to hear. The host with the most. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe and leave your reviews. I think we're up to 160 reviews on there now. Most of them 5-star, which is pretty good, isn't it?
Nice.
Pretty good for a humble podcast. Quick chat about the live show as well. We released some more tickets, didn't we? On Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
And they were sold out within 5 minutes. There weren't very many of them, granted. But yeah, that is a sellout show, boys. Mm. That should be good.
We've got to come up with something
now. Yeah, we've got a couple of months now to come up with something that is worth £6. And that's the bar. Anyway, let's call that a day. We're going to go do some work, get the newspaper and the website's all ready to go. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.